and in the ministry for 50 years. And I've come to the conclusion that with all of the doctrines and the understanding of God's plan, it all gets down to relationships. If you're talking doctrine, every doctrine will come down to a relationship with God or with one another. And we often talk about relationships with the Father, the Son, and with one another. But do you have a relationship with angels? Should you have a relationship with angels? Do angels have a relationship with you? And if so, what is that relationship? Will you have a relationship with angels in the kingdom of God after the return of Jesus Christ? There are around 300 references to angels in the Bible, and I'm going to cover every one of those today. No. But from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about angels in many different categories and capacities. But why are they important? What do they really have to do with us? What do they do? Now, I'm going to talk about angels today, but I'm going to start with a couple of cautions that the Scripture gives us. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, in the Amplified Version, Revelation 19:10 gives us a caution and also gives us a little bit of an idea of where we're going today. Revelation 19:10, it says, "Then I fell down at his feet," this is John talking about the angel that had delivered this message, "so I fell down at his feet to worship him, but he stopped me and said, 'You must not do that. Don't worship angels. Angels have their place. They have a relationship with us, but there's that caution.'" Now it goes on to say, and this kind of gives a maybe a summary a little bit of this sermon. The angel said, "I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters who have and hold the testimony of Jesus, but worship God alone." So the angels are our fellow servants. People can get unbalanced with the topic of angels. I think it's gone away for a while, but a few years ago, there was this really big explosion of angel worship, or angels had to do with everything. It was all around. But we're cautioned in Colossians 2, verse 18. Well, there are many that have gotten unbalanced with this topic of angels. We want to just make a caution on this, that that's not where we want to go, where God wants us to go with it. Many have claimed contact with God. They've claimed contact with angels that simply were not so. Colossians 2, verse 18 and 19 in the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels." Be careful, it says. "Saying that they have had visions about these things." A lot of people have taken it and gotten out of hand. It says, "Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body." But today, let's take a look at an angle with angels, as I'll title it, an angle on angels, and our relationship with angels. Now, the purpose of the message is, I just want you to consider and appreciate the meaningful role of angels in God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. And the angels have a meaningful role. And I think, you know, we can go overboard and get off balance and go a wrong direction with angels, but they are very important. And I think it's good for us to think about and consider it. Have you ever had an interaction with an angel? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and verse 2, an interesting statement. When I ask you if you've ever had an interaction with an angel, let's see what this says. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, "Let brotherly love continue." In verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels." They have had an interaction with an angel, and you still don't know it. What it says, reading through the nearly 300 instances in the Bible where it's talking about angels, there were a lot of instances where an angel was there as a human being, looked like and interacted as if it were a human being, and it had interactions with people. Some of you could tell stories about circumstances where somebody helped you out and then they were gone. It's kind of fun to have those discussions. I'll mention one a little bit later. But as we go on, first, who and what are angels? Okay, these are some basic things I think most of us are completely aware of. But Psalm chapter 148, verse 2. Psalm 148, verse 2. Who and what are angels? Psalm 148, verse 2 says, "Praise him, all his angels." Praise God, all his hosts. It was talking to angels, and it says, verse 5, "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created." Very simple, they were created beings. Spirit beings, created by God. Job chapter 38, verse 4, Job 38, verse 4 in the New Century Version, it says, "What were the earth's foundations set on? And who put its cornerstone in place?" In verse 7, "While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." So the angels were there when the earth was created. And we'll see from Scripture that the angels have a great part to play in why the earth was created and what God's plan is. I think it's interesting where it says when the earth was created at the foundations, all the angels shouted for joy. Now, there may be another scripture that comes to mind, we'll read a little bit later, of another time that angels shout for joy. Keep that in mind. How many angels are there? How many angels did God create who are running around the universe however they do and whatever they're doing? Revelation chapter 5, verse 11 gives us a kind of a figure. Revelation 5, verse 11 says, "I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." How many is that? A lot. Hebrews 12:22 describes them as an innumerable company of angels. If you were trying to get an exact number, but I don't know. God may be creating more. So if you knew a number back then, maybe it's different now. I don't know. There are a lot of things that we do not know. I'll say I do not know. Maybe you do. You fill this in. But I don't think God. We need to have all of the answers. You'll probably come up after this sermon with some questions. Okay. And a lot of those I will give to you, if you see me, after I'm standing in line talking to Christ after I'm resurrected. Okay. So, otherwise, I don't know stuff. What are the angels' relationship to God? Now, we talk about relationships, and you have a relationship with God, as the sermonette was bringing out. And we have a relationship with one another. But what is the angel's relationship to God? And then we can discuss what the relationship that we might have with angels is. Psalm 103, verse 20. Psalm 103, verse 20, it gives us kind of a description, character, who they are, what their purpose is. Psalm 103, verses 20 and 21. Verse 20, it says, "Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who?" Okay, so it's given, who are they, what do they do? "Who excel in strength." You read through and it talks about angels, and they did a lot of things that where they had a lot of power given to them by God. So, "excel in strength, who do his word." Well, that describes you too, right? You do his word. God commands and we follow through with what he says to do to the best of our ability. 3, heeding the voice of his word. So, you have a lot in common with the angels. You're here on Sabbath, heeding the voice of his word. And many other things. Verse 21. "Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his." We're servants of his. Ministers are servants. We've got a couple that are ordained as ministers, but when you serve God, we are servants of God. Remember the scripture we read already. It says, "Don't worship me. I'm your fellow servant." Verse 5, "who do his pleasure." God, it makes him happy. We do his pleasure. Hebrews 1:7 calls them ministers of flame, of fire. So they're servants of God. They're messengers to do God's will. You're saying we have a lot in common with our fellow servants, the angels. When you read through about what the angels have done and what they do, it's not all, you know, people get the idea of, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, right? And how do they depict angels? I don't even know if they allow angels anymore, you know, cherubs anymore, because it's too close to what people consider the Bible, but it's not. The cherubs, and they got the little bow and arrow, and a guy and gal are there, and they shoot you in the heart, and fall in love and all that type of thing. No, that's not a description of the angels. 2 Samuel 24, verse 15. To give you an idea, when it says they're God's servants, here's one of the things that the angel did in this circumstance. Sometimes some very, very good things, as we'll see, and sometimes things that are, 2 Samuel 24, 15, when David numbered Israel and God was a little upset with it, the Lord sent a plague on Israel that morning until the appointed time, and there were 70,000 people that died in this circumstance. How did they die? Well, verse 16, it says, "When the angel extended his hand to destroy Jerusalem, the Lord relented from his judgment and told the angel who was killing the people, 'That's enough. Stop now.'" Okay, I don't have, like I say, some things you wonder about, but that is one thing that God sent the angel to do. A whole bunch of others. It's really fun looking through the scripture to see what angels have done. Something else that's interesting about the angel's relationship with God is that God confers with the angels. You know, God's not as the great all-powerful God who can do anything he wants. He doesn't need our advice, but he demands it. Says, pray often to him. And you give God suggestions, right? You say, God, please do this. God, please. And God's listening, and God answers prayers. He confers with you. Well, he confers with the angels. It says something about God, and it says something about leadership. Luke chapter 12, verse 8. Luke 12, verse 8. He says, I tell you, Jesus says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. So when you were called, you came to God and you said, I want the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to be applied to me. And I don't know how they do that exactly, but Jesus says, okay, you see this person? He says, they're coming to me. They're responding. And it sounds like they have a conversation about it. And, you know, as we do, maybe a new person comes in the church and you're saying, hey, you know, did you ever meet this new person? And you're talking about it and having a conversation. But it says the Son of Man will acknowledge before the angels of God. One other translation says, I will say to the angels of God, this is someone who is my disciple. So God's had a conversation with you, with an angel. It's the implication on this. Job chapter 1, verse 6, something we're all familiar with, the story of Satan coming before God and having the discussion and the whole story of Job develops. But the circumstance was in Job 1, verse 6, the Amplified Version says, it was a day when the sons, the angels of God, came to present themselves before the Lord. So the angels come and present themselves before God. And God says, well, where have you been? What have you been up to? And they'll talk to God and say, and it says, and Satan, the adversary, the accuser, also came among them. So it was God having his conference with the angels, if you were, discussing whatever they discussed, discussing people, discussing God's plan, discussing what do you want us to go, what do you want us to do. So there is a conference with angels, apparently. The other one is a little odd, but 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19. 2 Kings 22, verse 19. It was something that God had planned and he wanted to happen with one of the people involved. 1 Kings 22, verse 19. In the ESV it says, and Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing beside him on his right hand and on his left. This is the vision. Verse 20, and the Lord said, who will entice Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And it goes on to say, and well, one angel said this, and another angel said something else, and finally another angel said, well, how about if we send a lying spirit to the prophets and then see how Ahab responds. And God said, okay, do that one. God was asking the angels their opinion. And he did what one of the angels suggested. That's what happened. Now, you mentioned that at the creation, the angels shouted for joy. And I think that's why the angels shouted for joy, because God had a plan for the earth, for the foundation of the earth. Christ sacrificed for us from the foundation. But Luke 5, verse, or 15, verse 10, Luke 15, verse 10 says, likewise they say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And it was maybe mentioned at your baptism. I always do that when I'm having the laying on of hands for the giving of the Holy Spirit. I talk to them, but it says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents. And so when you repented, when you went down in that watery grave, and you came up and received God's Spirit, the angels were there at your baptism. How many of them, what the circumstances exactly, but there was joy over your repentance and becoming potential child of God, living forever in the kingdom. So there is a relationship that angels have with you. I don't know how it all works, but I know it does. The angels know you. They are aware of your spiritual progress. And I believe they have discussions with Jesus Christ and the Father, and with one another. And so keep this in mind as we continue. So next, what is their relationship with God's plan for mankind? What is their relationship with you? Hebrews 1, verse 2. Hebrews 1 and 2 talk a good bit about this. It's good to read through. I'm just touching some highlights here. Hebrews 1, verse 2. So what is the angel's relationship with God's plan for you? Hebrews 1, verse 2, it says, God has said in these last, God in these last days has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things. So it talks about heirs of God, the family of God. Verse 4, having become so much better than the angels, He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And so it is very specific that the inheritors of sonship, of Godship in the kingdom, are in a better place than angels, or a higher level than angels. It says in Hebrews 1, verse 13, he says, to which of the angels has he ever said, sit on my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? So it refers to Christ being on the right hand of God. Christ is higher than the angels. And it says, verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? What are you doing here? You're anticipating inheriting salvation, God's plan, the kingdom. And it says the angels are there to serve you. Those who will inherit salvation. Now it's God the Father, it's Jesus Christ that give us that. They are the ones we worship. They are the ones we have that ongoing relationship. I kind of liken it to going out. Think of the best meal you've ever had when you've gone out to a restaurant. The finest place, you know, and you're just all out during the feast. Money's not an object. And you had the best steak, the best conversation, the best time. Without the wait staff, how would that have gone? Was it the wait staff that made your evening? Now, sometimes you have a good relationship with the wait staff, and it's fun, and enjoy those. But you had the restaurant, and the owner of that restaurant, and then you had the cook, the chef, that makes it worthwhile. But the wait staff made the evening, kind of, because they served the restaurant owner, the chef, and they served you. That's kind of what I like an angel's position to be. Without the wait staff, it doesn't work very well. But they are not the center of the whole thing. So, angels are here to serve you, to help you to have a better relationship with God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, "For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels." The wait staff doesn't control stuff, right? It says, but one, verse 6, "One testified in a certain place saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him?'" What is God doing with all of us? The likes of me. Who's man that you're mindful of him? This is it. Verse 7. "For you have made him," right now, "a little lower than the angels." You're physical. You're going to die. Angels don't die. "You've crowned men and women with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands." Chapter 2, verse 10. "For it was fitting for him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And verse 15 says, "We also know that the Son did not come to help angels, but he came to help the descendants of Abraham." So God's got a plan of salvation, bringing you into his family as his children, as we are aware. But he has angels help with that process. Now, the next few scriptures we'll go show very plainly that angels are here to help us. They have a relationship with you under the Father and the Son. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 9. Psalm 91, verse 9, the New Living Translation says, "If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter," the sermonette again, it's your relationship with God, you have that relationship with Him, and then it says, verse 10, "No evil will conquer you, no plague will come near your home." Verse 11, "He will order his angels to protect you wherever you go." If you've given your life to God, he sends his angels to help you. "They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Remember, this is the one that Satan quoted to Jesus in that temptation. Now, we know that doesn't mean that nothing bad can ever happen. That's a part of our lives too. And how and when God chooses to send that angel to protect you, and how and when God chooses not to. Listen to Gary Petty's sermon that he gave with that gentleman and his daughter that died in Atlanta. It's called "I Believe, Help My Unbelief." If you haven't read it, jot it down. Gary Petty's sermon, "I Believe, Help My Unbelief." So when you read this scripture and it says, well, he said he'll send his angels to protect you. So what happens when he doesn't, or when he lets somebody die and not? Gary Petty's sermon, excellent. That'll help to answer these questions that we sometimes don't know the answer to. When God was dealing with Daniel, and Daniel said, "My God sent his angels to shut the lions' mouths." Okay, so an angel went, and I don't know how the angel did that. He, wrapped his arm around his snout or whatever happened, where the lion didn't bite or destroy Daniel. And it says, "They have not harmed me." We can tell stories of, we wonder, God sent that angel. Back when we left Denver in, I think it was 1976, we went up to Montana. Those of you that have been around that long might remember us leaving. But I went up there and went part-time in the ministry, and I was doing all kinds of different jobs. I was working for a member up there building houses. And one of the things that Vern Graham did was he had a house. It must have been I don't know if it was 1,000 square feet or whatever, 900. But he wanted to move the house from one side of Flathead Valley to another. So we were in the process of house moving. And a couple of big larch trees that he set the house on. And we were moving it. We had to adjust. And I crawled underneath, and we jacked up the house. I don't know exactly what the deal was. I crawled out from under doing that job. And that larch broke under the weight of the house directly where I had been just 30 seconds earlier. Now, I kind of feel God sent an angel and said, "Okay, we're not done with Randy yet. Okay, that larch is cracking, guys. Go down there and just hold it up for a minute." I think an angel probably helped. I think I had a relationship with an angel at that time, is my opinion. Possibly not. After 9/11, we were at the feast one time in Jamaica, I think it was, and a lady that was there had been in one of the Twin Towers on 9/11 in 2001, or whatever it was. And she tells a story of being up in the tower and smoke, fire, and they were running down the stairs and trying to find their way through and couldn't see, and some guy said, "Hey, follow me." And went down, and they couldn't see anything, opened the door, and she turned around to thank the guy, and he wasn't there. It says, whereby some have entertained angels unaware. And we've heard stories like that, and probably something has happened to you many times we probably don't know about. And we have entertained angels unaware. But it said they're there to protect you, to help you, to hold you up, in order to help God's plan and God's will to be fulfilled. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10 says, "Take heed you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Every year we have a tradition of blessing of little children. And I believe every child that minister is blessed, we say, God, put your angels about them. Help this child, you know, be there. And we ask God to send his angels to help our kids, right? Because he says that he's got their angels there. Acts chapter 12, verse 6, I'll read this section here because it's quite dramatic. Acts 12 and verse 6. New Living Translation says, the night before Peter was to be placed on trial, he was asleep, fastened with two chains between two soldiers. Others stood guard at the prison gate. Verse 7, suddenly there was a bright light in the cell, and an angel of the Lord stood before Peter. The angel struck him on the side and said, wake up, get up. And the chains fell off his wrists. And the angel told him, get dressed and put on your sandals. And he did. Now put on your coat and follow me, the angel ordered. And verse 9 says, so Peter left the cell following the angel, but all the time he thought it was a vision. I suppose if something like that happened to you, you'd probably feel the same thing. Okay, this isn't really happening. This is one of my dreams that I have all the time. He didn't realize that it was actually happening. Verse 10, they passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate leading to the city, and this opened for them all by itself. So they passed through and started walking down the street, and the angel suddenly left him. And there are other stories, and members have told about being stranded by the side of the road, and some guy came up behind him and helped him, and said thanks and looked, and the car he was in was gone even. It's up to God. Verse 11, Peter finally came to his senses. Some of you have a hard time waking up in the morning too. Finally came to his senses and said, it's really true. The Lord has sent his angel and saved me from Herod and from what the Jewish leaders had planned to do to me. It happens. I don't know how often and when, but it happens. Final one in this section. Daniel 12, verse 1 says, at that time, Daniel 12, verse 1. At that time, Michael shall stand up. And the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And it says, there shall come a time of trouble. You like prophecy? Okay, it's some prophecy. There shall come a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So as these prophecies come to pass that we're looking forward to and dreading at the same time, it says that Michael is there and stands watch over God's people. It's prophecy that says that will be occurring specifically in that future time. Angels also work with God's people to give us understanding. And I don't know just what role they play. I know God sends His Spirit to work in us when we're asking for inspiration. But Daniel chapter 8, if you're in Daniel already, Daniel 8:16 says, I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai who called and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. Daniel 9, verse 22. Go into all the details in between, but Daniel 9:22, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I have now come forth to give you skill to understand. When and how the angels are involved in your understanding of God's word, I don't know. Verse 23, he said at the beginning of your supplications, a command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you're greatly beloved, therefore consider the matter and understand the vision. I already referred to Revelation 19 when the angel came and was talking about the marriage supper and things like that. And then John fell down to worship the angel. You know, we think, well, I don't fully understand everything there is to know about angels. Even John here, near the end of his life, was going to worship the angel. And he was told, no, John, the John that we know, don't worship me. He said, I'm your fellow servant. So we don't have a full understanding of things. We don't need to. We know the big picture, believe and understand it, and that God's working this stuff out. So let's consider these things. And I want to end with a little speculation here. Because the angels talk with and even advise God, and he considers them. Oh, good. I'm glad the kids are back. I hope they all get back, because we're going to end kind of cool. And not just because it's cold. The angels have been sent to give understanding to men, women. The angels are there to assist those who will become sons of God. These are things that we've gone through here. They are fellow servants with us. Keep those things in mind. What will our relationship with angels be after Christ's return? Put a few scriptures here, and then we can speculate some. I'm not going off a deep end, because I'm just speculating on things. But let's consider. What is the angel's job? Matthew 25:31, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on his throne of glory. So it talks about the return of Christ, and it says all the heavenly angels will come with him and sit on the throne of glory. Matthew 13:39. That other one was Matthew 25:31, if you're taking a note or two. Matthew 13:39. It says, the enemy who sowed these seeds is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. And so it talks about, you know, people accepting Christ or not. And verse 41 of Matthew 13 says, the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather all out of his kingdom, all that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and then work with the righteous. Okay, so Christ returns, and angels are involved in this process. Angels are involved in this part of the judging. Daniel 7, verse 9. I'm going somewhere with this, so stick with it. Daniel 7, verse 9. And I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated, the last great day, it's judgment day. 7 verse 10, Daniel 7 verse 10, New Century Version. A river of fire was flowing in front of him, the Ancient of Days. Many thousands of angels were serving him, and millions of angels stood before him. This thousands and thousands of thousands stood before him. New Century Version, I think properly translate that is millions of angels. court was ready to begin, and the books were opened. The books are opened on the last great day for judgment. So the angels are involved with God and Jesus Christ in judging after Christ's return. What is man's job? Sons of God. Those who, when Christ returns, are changed to spirit being or resurrected and changed to spirit being. What do we always talk about? What do you go to the feast for and learn about what your role is? Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1. Keep in mind what we read is going to be the angel's job. He said, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming," Zechariah 14, 1. "The day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst," for verse 2, "for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." 14, verse 3 says, "And the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle." Verse 5, "Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you." Who are the saints? Those who accepted Christ and who followed him before their death and then are resurrected. That's the saints. You are saints. Jude 14. Jude 14. Chapter 1, verse 14, by the way. "Then now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all." So there are millions of angels, thousands upon thousands, an innumerable multitude of angels, and there are 10,000s of his saints that are changed to spirit being, the first fruits, that come with him to execute judgment. We just read that's what the angels are doing. Back to the feast, last great day. Revelation 20, verse 4 says, "I saw thrones and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them," those who had died in Christ. "They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And then 1 Corinthians, where it says, "Don't you know that saints will judge the world?" Which is it? Will angels or the sons of God judge the world with Jesus Christ? Consider this. Hebrews 1, verse 14. It says, "Are they not all," Hebrews 1:14, "are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who will inherit salvation?" So the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to all of those who will inherit salvation, the first fruits, and then so on. Now angels talk with and advise God, even as God asks for it. So they have that relationship. Would it make sense for God to send an angel to help you as you're changed to spirit being? Have you often wondered, when I'm changed to spirit being and I'm going to be judging people, what do I do? I'm going to be given a city and I'm supposed to run a city? What do I do with all the homeless people? And, you know, what if God gave you an angel and said, "Hey, go help whatever your name is as a spirit being"? Wouldn't it be handy to have someone with that experience, having talked with God and presented himself before God? Angels have been sent by God to give understanding to men. There are a lot of things I don't understand, and I don't know how I don't know shall be given judgment, am going to run one city or a county or whatever. But it says we're going to be given some of those tasks. I'm going to need some help in understanding. You know, Jesus Christ gives us that understanding. It's through His Spirit. But it says He sends angels to help with that. So what if God gives you an angel to help with that? To help an angel who had been through history, through various wars and people dying then, and you're dealing with people, and the angel says, hey, you know, I remember that I was there, you know, when Hannibal came through and killed this person. and look at the culture that was there. And to just talk with and to work with and help give us understanding, as God says that He has sent His angels to do there. Could they offer the experiences that they've had? Angels are there to assist those who will become the sons of God. Will they stop assisting once we're changed to spirit being? I speculate no. I speculate that we will have a relationship, and maybe the same angel that kept that larch from falling on me back in 1976. I don't know. We'll see. I'll end with this. Now, I said, this may, you may verify the fact you think I'm crazy, but the kids might like this. Revelation 19:14. We talk about the return of Jesus Christ, and it says, the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed Him on white horses. Now, I don't think we read a lot about horses in the Bible when it talks about visions of heaven and that type of thing. I just spoke to somebody a week or so ago that said, oh man, I you know, when it says Jesus Christ is returning on a white horse and everybody's riding a horse behind Him, I'm afraid of horses. I'm not going to do very well with that. Okay. Others love horses. Horse whisperers and people that, you know, maybe you're a horse person. But what if those horses were angels? Now, angels aren't little cherubs floating around with their wings. There's that one, remember, and he's got four faces, and there's the angels that have the big wings over the ark, and they've presented themselves as humans. Would God shape-shift them into horses? And then, you know, you're all afraid they're coming back and riding on the horses and attacking the nations and all that. And the angel says, take it easy, buddy, I got you. Okay, I helped you out back there, and we'll work together. I'll be back in another shape later. I don't know. Interesting to speculate about. But the fact is, the angels are our fellow servants. And just keep your eye on the big goal, the kingdom of God. It is coming and it's reality. And I think it just can help us to focus on what God is doing, the love that He has for you in our plan. Angels play an important role in God's plan of salvation for mankind. And let's appreciate what God is doing, what God has done, and what God will do to bring us into His kingdom. Appreciate angels, but stay focused on God and Jesus Christ, God's plan of salvation for all of mankind. God bless you.
Is there such a thing as a heater angel? I wish I had one of those. I was asked to, this announces kind of for the people watching on the webcast. During the break, the reminder, there's a 30-minute break between services and the memorial. They're going to be working on the webcast, so don't panic. They will be back. It will be back up before the memorial. And as a reminder, we're not doing the 15-minute sermon chat afterwards. So you'll have to corral Mr.